Well, we're going to should be coming to the end of this lesson. But really, our love for the Lord and our compassion to give, that it goes on. So we're going to look at some things in this book in lesson number 13 about giving. And there are some questions that the gentleman who wrote this book has put to us. But I also want to go over to Acts. But we are going to look at what the book has here. But one of the questions it has a number one question: should giving take place only on the Lord's Day? Should giving take place only on the first day of the week? Okay. How should we? Yes, go ahead.
I said no, because we don't just give of our finances. We also give of our time, and we give of other things, you know, that we have that's still of value to us that we can give. That also, such as could be clothes, could be food, could be anything, you know. So whenever you see a person in need, you know, you can do something to help. Give of yourself. That's giving. And that's not only just on the Lord's Day.
That's right. All right, now. Try to get for me, if you will, 1 Corinthians chapter 16. We use this particular verse a lot. Right before our giving. Yeah. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Somebody got that? Verses 1 and 2. I want 1 and 2 on this one. And Paul was very precise. He says that we should store up. That means we should already have it. So when he comes, all he has to do is get it or collect it. How many of us, and you don't have to answer this, but how many of us follow Paul's example when he says that there'll be no collection when I come? Now, you've heard me say time and time again how I do it, because I always believe that when I get paid, the Lord's money anyway, I make sure that I give what I'm going to give above everything else. And then, you know, I think the Lord will be pleased with that. But we have to learn to do that. Paul said, you don't do it when he gets that. We need to have it already done. We need to have these things in tow right then. So when he comes, all he has to do is collect it. We need to make sure that we follow Paul's advice and his example. One of the great lessons on giving is in Second Corinthians chapter 8 and chapter 9. Let me go over there for a minute. Chapter 8. Deal with it first. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And it tells us to excel in giving. It says, moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, that in our great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. This church didn't have a lot of money, but they gave liberally. And it looked like they were glad to do it. Is that the attitude we should have? Is there anything in those verses that you don't agree with? It tells us. And Paul did a great job in telling us how to give. And that chapter, really the whole chapter, on giving is very important. And then we read another verse over in right next to it, which is chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Somebody get that for us. Start at verse 6. Somebody get that. Read down to verse number 8. Exactly right. That's very. Thank you, brother, for reading. We must give, Paul said, liberally. And he also tells us, he says, as the brother read, that he who sows how sparingly. In other words, you're a cheapskate. If you cheat, want to hold on to that money, God will take care of you on that. He says, if you reap sparingly, you shall also and you got to be very careful about reaping sparingly. We need to give. He said give to a hurt, but give out of love. Give out of love. So let each one give as he does what? Purpose in his heart. And all of us purpose differently. But if you love the Lord, you won't have any problem giving. If you love him. He has already said he'll open up the door of heaven with blessings that we won't be able to receive. And he talks about that over in Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, and he talks about it many times in his lesson. And it's very good that people understand that, and I'm going to tell you, I know that it works. Because the Lord said, try me and I'll prove it to you. Try me and I'll prove it to you. And we need to make sure that we're willing to try the Lord. Take him at his word. You double dog dare you to try him. And we will be able to see what he can do for us. Well, that's not the reason to give, because one of the reasons to give is because it's a command. God commands us to give. And we ought to be glad to do what the Lord asks of us. I want to go over, back over to Acts. I got to go over there because it's Acts 6. Okay, thank you. All right. Acts chapter 5. I think we need to get somebody to read verse 1. Down to verse 11. Acts chapter 5, verse 1 down to verse 11. This is such an important lesson to all of us. Acts chapter 5, verse 1 down to verse 11. Go ahead.
Now, a man named Ananias, together with his wife Sapphira, also sold a piece of property. With his wife's full knowledge, he kept back part of the money for himself, but brought the rest to and put it at the apostles' feet. Then Peter said, Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money you received from the land?
Hold on a minute. How did Peter know? How did he know that Ananias took that part of the money that he had sold the land, but he didn't give it as he had said he was going to give it? The Holy Spirit could see that. They could see it. Go ahead, bro.
Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? After it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? What made you think of doing such a thing? You have not lied to men, but to God.
Yeah.
When Ananias heard this, he fell down and died. In great fear seized all who heard what had happened. Then the young man came forward, wrapped up his body, and carried him out and buried him. About 3 hours later, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. Peter asked her, tell me, is this the price you and Ananias got for the land? Yes, she said, that is the price. Peter said to her, how can you agree to test the spirit of the Lord? Look, the feet of the men who buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out also. At that moment, she fell down at his feet and died. And the young men came in, and finding her dead, carried her out and buried her beside her husband. Great fear seized the whole church and all who heard about these events.
That is a major lesson for all of us. And we, God may not strike us down as he did Ananias and Sapphira, but he's writing notes. And he's going to hold it against us. Because they had the land. It was their land to sell. And they could have given the Lord whatever they wanted him to have. But the heart wasn't right. They decided they were going to lie to the Holy Spirit. Yes.
You know, Ray, in that story right there, for a long time I didn't understand that the point where you were just mentioning, I thought it was that the Lord killed them because they didn't give all the money. But it wasn't the fact that they didn't give all, the fact that they lied and said that right. What they gave was all that they sold it for. And I didn't realize that, which gives us opportunity. You give the Lord what you want, because he said purpose in your heart, but not to lie about it and make it seem like that's all you got to give. You know, you give what you want, and let it, you know, let it be what you give, but don't lie and say that, oh, this is all I got. And you know, you could have gave more. You know, I guess that's what that lesson is teaching us.
Well, the thing is, as you said, they did lie. They could have given whatever they wanted to give. But the reason that they lied was the story that broke the camel's back, because they had no business lying. All they had to do, if they wanted to give X amount of dollars, but look, we kept that part of this money because, you know, it was our land, so we're going to give the church. They would have been better off telling the truth about that than telling a lie. And you're right. Yes.
So, and I've often wondered, like, you know, Scripture says, "Build your kingdom and prosper." And if you don't give or you give little, then are you saying that God has not prospered us? So are we sinning, you know, against that?
Wait a minute. Say that again.
Well, the Scripture says that you've been prospered.
Yeah.
Right, but you choose not to give, or you don't give, you know, willingly or as much as you should. Is that a sin against that command? That, you know, we said God has not prospered us.
Well, I truly believe God has prospered us, but we have the responsibility to give as the Lord has prospered us. But everybody, like, you can give more, maybe than I could, that I don't work. But I give according to what the Lord has blessed me, as you should give according to the Lord has blessed you. Go ahead. I'm going to let Ralph have out.
I think the thing that answers, and you look at both of these situations here in Acts and what Matt's asking, I think it goes back to motivation. You know, what was the motivation behind Ananias and Sapphira holding back some of the money but giving some other part? Well, it appears if you read in the verses just before that, where all the believers are sharing what they had and they had things in common. And, you know, people are selling land, like, you know, Barnabas did. He sold some land and gave money to lay the lawsuit. You know, in that kind of a thing, I think it's reasonable to understand. Probably people knew what was being done. And, you know, there were people that were going, wow, that's so generous of them, you know, and look what they did. And the motivation appears to be on the part of Ananias and Sapphira that they wanted to be praised by men because they were giving, you know, this money that they had gotten for this land. The problem was not that they held some of it back. The problem was they wanted people to think they were giving all of it. So again, it goes back to motivation.
Yeah.
I want people to praise me, you know, for what I'm doing. So motivation is a key factor here. And so go back to what the next question is. You know, if I'm not giving as I have been prospered, is that sinful? I believe it is, because what I'm doing is I'm saying to God, I'm not recognizing that you have prospered me. Okay?
Yeah.
And in a lot of ways, that's blasphemy against God. You're saying, God's not blessing me. Why should I give to him? You see?
Absolutely.
And what is my motivation then in what I do give? Well, I got to give something. You see? Mm-hmm. Well, again, it goes back to the motivation. And I do believe that if I'm not doing, it's a command. And when we don't do what God tells us to do, then we're disobeying His commands. And disobeying God is sinful.
Yeah.
But again, I think the key to it is, what is motivating us in our giving? Say, why are we doing it? If Ananias and Sapphira had given every cent that they had gotten for that land, but their motivation behind it was to get the glory from the people and receive praise, they still would have been wrong in their giving.
Yeah.
Say,
absolutely.
Because their motivation was what was wrong.
Yeah.
And they can't have lied to the Holy Spirit. So when Paul said they lied, it had to be the men. The Holy Spirit was going to know what was going on anyway.
Yeah.
So that tells you right there that people were sharing how much they were giving to each other.
Yeah.
There was a lot of talk going on. And that's the issue we talked about in here before about some of these churches where you go, you have to go up to the front and give your offering in front of everybody, and so people can kind of spy and look and see how much you're giving and that sort of thing. But then that takes away the whole meaning behind the giving anyway.
Yeah.
Because then you're just going to impress.
Yeah. Absolutely. Thank you. Yes. We're gonna be tried by the Lord, tested, and we need to make sure that we pass the test, because God is going to do what He says He's going to do. Yes.
Yeah, I think, you know, if I can address one other thing about Matt's question here is, you know, if you got somebody that is not giving as they've been prospered, not only are they not obeying God, but they're not acknowledging the blessings that God has given. And I think I said that before, but here's another part to consider in this. If I'm not willing to acknowledge the blessings that God has given to me in that way, why should I expect God to continue to bless my life?
Yeah.
Say, I'm dishonoring Him by basically saying, well, God's not really giving me much. And then turn around and ask Him to bless me. Why should God do that? We really need to consider that.
Yeah. Thank you. Absolutely. Is it permissible to accept contributions from individuals or businesses that have no connection to the church? I don't have all the answers to this, but I read it. Listen to the question. Is it permissible to accept contributions from individuals or businesses that have no connection to the church? What do you think?
I think, personally, I don't see a problem with it. Because, number one, I look at it from a lot of different angles, me personally. Number one, God took us when we didn't have no interest in Him from the beginning. So He did for us from the beginning. And some of us turn back to Him, some of us don't. But the fact that if, even though businesses or another person may not have interest, the work of the Lord still has to go on. you know, and it's for a good cause. And they may write it off as a tax write-off, or they may just do it for their own, for to put themselves up or whatever. But I figure the Lord's going to handle that on their part. What we do with it is what's going to be on our part. So that may be the way that he uses, because we get blessings from everywhere. You know, God don't have no, you don't just let church people bless church people, you know, or Christians bless Christians. Christians bless Christians. But we get blessings from everywhere, and we're supposed to reach out to everybody. That may be the way in which we start, or, you know, where the root is, the seed is being planted. That's just my personal opinion.
But, yeah. I personally, well, I see another hand.
You know, as I look at this and I go back to motivation, that's an important aspect in answering this question also. Why is the person that is giving the money to the church that doesn't have anything to do with the church, why are they giving the money? It could be because, you know, they see the church is trying to fill a need and they want to help. They've got a good heart and they want to do that. Nothing wrong with that. But are they trying to... Is their motivation just a pure, all they want is a tax write-off? And they'll be using the Lord's church, you know, to do that. You know what? Is there anything wrong with having a tax write-off? No. The government allows us to do that. But you know what? If I know that's your motivation, keep your money.
Yeah.
If that's all you're doing, you're trying to use the church that way. But there are other considerations in this, too. And I think it behooves the leadership of the church in circumstances like that to be wise enough to know where does that money come from. We got a drug dealer out here that's trying to soothe his conscience and he's giving money to the church. We know that money is from drug dealing. Keep your money. I don't want it. Neither does the Lord. You see, you can't wash your hands, by giving money to the church by the evil deeds that you're doing, and you've obtained this money illegally and so forth. Don't dishonor the Lord by giving it that way. That's no different than the sacrifices that the Israelites gave. They had to be what kind of sacrifice? Pure and undefiled, without spot or blemish.
Right.
God's not going to accept the sacrifice by someone today giving that is defiled by illegal activity. But let me say one other thing and take it one step further. This asks the question about someone outside the church. There are sometimes people inside the church who give with the motivation of trying to run the church.
Okay.
And I say the same thing. Keep your money. In the church, out of the church, it doesn't matter. Keep your money. See, because that's wrong motivation. So where that money comes from, I think it's not necessarily the inside, in the church, out of the church, but where does it come from? Again, in terms of motivation for the giving.
Okay.
I think that's an important way to look at in answering that particular question.
I see two hands, too. Thank you. Absolutely.
And piggybacking on that motivation thing, the business came to us and said, I'm going to give you money, but I want to put an advertisement up. That wouldn't be the right motivation.
No.
And I've seen churches where they want to sue someone because they know if they leave, they're going to be taking a big chunk of the contribution with them, which is what Russ was saying. When people want to run the church. But you just got to do your best as the leadership to figure out whether you can or not. If the stranger walks in here and wants to give on Sunday morning, you're not going to ask him a lot of questions just to find out if his contribution is good or not. But as you find things out, you may say, keep your money.
Yeah. I want you to understand in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And let's go to verse number 14. And it says, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And you have to be very careful. You have to be very, very careful, as you've already mentioned, about the motivation of individuals. And we also need to check our own self when we give. What is our motivation? We're supposed to be the Lord's people. What is our motivation? Are we doing it because we love the Lord? Or are we doing it because we want to be praised? You know, are we want, you know, as the sister already mentioned, we always have to make sure that we do things according to what God will want us to do and in a way that he'll be pleased with us. Go ahead, Diane. Another thing I want to mention too, and that's a good question you asked, we need to examine ourselves as Christians, because we shouldn't even be playing a lot of it. Now, some of y'all might look at me funny, but I'm going to tell you, we really need to be very careful in doing that. That's all I can say.
I'd like to make a comment on that also. Personally, we don't play the lottery. But we were in a store, and the printout that you get, the machine that gives a coupon, gave a free lottery ticket. And if you put it in the machine, you get a free lottery ticket. And had that money, had that number in hit, As of right now, honestly, we don't even know whether or not they're going to count those things available to show you how much interest we have in it. But still, if the money came out, if we hit and we was to get it, I would keep it because it was given. That way, I didn't go spend no money for it, it came to me. But my comment of what the question that you just raised, and going along with what you were saying about motivation, If a person truly is motivated the right way and they want to give to the church, they don't need to make a publicity about giving. You know, they wouldn't even have to drop it in the plate as a lump sum. You know, it will be put in there whether it comes an opportunity for something come up and definitely need a lot of money, like the time that our athletes been broke and needed some money or whatever needed to be done to the building or whatever occasion came up that would need some money, and you have it, your contribution could be made then. If just by putting it in on Sunday morning, some amount at a time, because I, for one, like I said, if I was to win on that occasion. I definitely don't plan on spending it all at one time because I don't know what the future holds. So I'm going to try to hold on to it to live off because, for one, it came for a purpose, especially since I didn't put no money into it. So that's the way I would think. But I would say that if a person's motivated right, they don't need to make a publicity of what they're doing. It's just saying, oh, but don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. If you truly are trying to do the right thing, you can just do what the Spirit would motivate you to do anyway. And you give them from your heart. Nobody needs to know about it.
All right. Good point. Yes, sir.
Probably we have to understand too that the lottery, yes, it's all right. If you have the money to play, but that's the devil's attitude.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to make it so you keep coming back and most of the poor people play. Most of the poor people play the lottery with the hope of winning this big money so I can live. You know, so we do have to be careful of man-made money-making things. I'm never going to play the lottery because I don't like to lose. And when I put my dollar in there, I don't want a dollar or two back. No. I don't like to lose, so I'm not playing it. I don't have money to put in man's game. I'm putting my hopes in the Lord. And whether he blessed me with, well, he know not to give me a whole lot of money anyway. He know to give me exactly what I need. So, playing around with all these man-made games, to me, is a devil's attitude. Because he's gonna make it so pleasing that you keep coming back.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to tell you, it's a very dangerous thing because people have active gamble at their home.
Yeah.
They're taking furniture out of the house to settle. That's what they can play on gamble. Yeah, whether it's playing cards or shooting crap, it's all gamble. And we need to be very, very careful. Yeah.
We've got to be careful, too. There's a story about this fellow that won the lottery, but he didn't know it yet. And before he had heard about it, he had a heart attack. And he was in the hospital, and his family found out that he won, and they were concerned that, you know, if he got the news that he had won this big, you know, lottery thing, that might push him over the edge. So they went and talked to the preacher and said, you know, well, he won the lottery, but, you know, wondering if you could break the news to him because we know you do it very gently. And so the preacher agreed, and he went to the hospital, visited the guy, and he was talking to him. He said, now, Fred, he said, let me ask you a hypothetical question. He said, if you won the lottery, what would you do? And he said, well, preacher, he said, if I won the lottery, I'd give half of it to the church. And the preacher had a heart attack. We look at stories like that, you know, and so forth. Again, I think, you know, it goes back to motivation. What are we trying to do? Here's a twist on the lottery thing, just to think about. Okay?
Yeah.
There are a lot of people who consider the stock market to be a gamble. On your perspective on it. So, you know, we had somebody who was an investor in the stock market and they, you know, made a lot of money on it. You see? One is considered to be clean gambling and the other not so clean.
Yeah.
I'm just throwing that out there for people to think about.
Yeah.
And it gets right down to it, insurance is gambling. The insurance company is gambling. You're not going to have an accident or anything, and you're gambling that you are.
Well,
I mean, there are people that have even said that. So you just got to be careful. But once again, I like to spend that Weston on it. If you won and you got the money, why would anybody have to know that what was going in the play came from that anyway? You're just giving. But Russ brings up an excellent point here that if someone's out there saying, hey, I won the lottery and I'm giving the church $1 million, it's the perspective that people have from it. And it would offend. And we're told to shun the evil of the parent. And we're told to be cognizant of people's feelings about stuff like that. And if there are people that would be truly offended by it, no, we shouldn't take the money. Even if the building's falling down, we shouldn't take the money.
All right. We time has run out. I think we had a good discussion, and I appreciate all of the comments. And this has been, to me, a very informative lesson. And I certainly appreciate the other elders before me who talked on the subject of giving. And I will tell you, it's been very good. And I've enjoyed it. And I certainly hope you have. Yes. Yeah.
Can you explain that? Is that like the holding spot that you go to before you go?
Yes, in a sense. Well, before Christ's ascension, yes. Okay? But after Christ's ascension, those who die in the Lord are with Him in heaven. But Hades, and under, again, biblical terms, they understood Hades, and they have the idea of Hades as being that place where, in a sense, it's a holding place. You're not in heaven, you're not in hell. It's a place where all the dead go. There's two parts of Hades. There's a place of comfort, Abraham's bosom, and then there's Sheol, which is, you know, a place of torment. Right. It's not hell yet, but, you know you're going. Right.
Yeah.
There you go.
Ten times hotter. Appreciate it, bro. Yeah.